And it's time for another Tom and Shane podcast. Glad to have you with us. Thanks very much for being here. And we want to remind you, make sure you subscribe to our channel. Like the, hit the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we have another podcast. And like us and leave a comment, because YouTube really likes that. And they add some, you know, clout to our search. So by all means, do that. Also, Patreon, we got some great benefits for you to support the show monetarily, so we hope that you will look at the description below and do that. And also, we're brought to you by Patreon, or not Patreon, but StreamYard. I'll get it in a minute, Shane. StreamYard, we do that to make these wonderful podcast, so easy, and anyone can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it. So today we want to talk about money. Is your money making money, and the markets and stock market? And I don't know about you, Shane, but I think when people start talking about stock markets and all this stuff, man, you know, their eyes kind of glaze over, and what the hell are you talking about? Could we make some sense out of this somehow, some way?
Well, absolutely. I've been really excited that we would take some time and talk about this. This is something I know about. So we're going to give you all a crash course in the stock market. And we're going to really start wide open with the market itself. You can see the numbers again today. So 65% of the NASDAQ stocks, including the FANG stocks, are down anywhere from 30 to 70%. So we're in a bear market. And what you see in the dead cat bounce, where the market falls off and then trades up like it is today, it's up 271 at 34,600, and now the U.S. S&P 500 is up 42 at 4,500. NASDAQ, of course, at 14, and it's up 167. What you're seeing today is what's called a short rally, and the importance of understanding a short rally is very simple. Once a bear market's established, the traders start taking over. We're going to get into shorting, because I want to review several of the FANG stocks, particularly a couple we've talked about that are going to split, and one I expect to, which is Netflix. I expect Netflix to be the next one, split 10 to 1. But shorting is a interesting option. You're allowed to sell a stock in what's called a short account, separate from a cash account, separate from a margin account, and separate from a future option account for puts and calls. So in your short account, you sell a stock you don't own short, and you have the cash in your account, equivalent to what you sold it at. And you have to have 150% margin in that account, so your brokerage firm isn't exposed, meaning if you shorted a stock at a dollar, you'd have to have a dollar, you know, 1,000 shares at a dollar, you'd have to have $1,500 in the account. Because if the stock goes up and you have to cover that, you've got to have the money to buy it at a loss. But of course, if it goes down, you can buy it back at any time and make a profit. So that's a short account, very, very, very basic. Cash account, simple in the context of you open up an account, a cash account, you put money in and you buy and sell stock, you know, hopefully low, sell high. A margin account is different unto itself and separate, where you put in grade A stocks, you know, stocks that pay dividends, stocks that are trading at a high value, and that the firm that you operate with will allow you a margin on it. Say, for the sake of argument, Amazon, they might give you 50%. So you could buy $1,500 on the basis that you have 1,000 shares of Amazon in your account. And that covers the house. So if you buy more of that or another stock and it goes up, great. If it goes down and you have to, and you decide to sell it, well, you have the Amazon stock in your account, your margin account, to cover any losses and sell a portion of that to make it up. And then finally, the options account, where you can buy what are called futures, and those are puts and calls. Puts and calls are great. They're the best leverage in the market in a short bear market. Here's why. When you buy a put, you're saying a stock's going to, you're looking at buying a put to buy a stock back cheaper because you think it's going to go down. And if you buy a call, you think, oh, it's going to go up. So you buy the call. And it, very often, you know, if these calls, depending on what length they are, meaning how many days or weeks, because there's a limited time to them. If you buy it, we'll say a call on a dollar stock, and you buy a call at $5, that it's going to go to $1.05. If it starts to climb, that option goes up in value because someone else will maybe want to buy it, including someone who's short. So, you know, if the stock goes to $1.05, your call could be worth $1 to $2, $1 to $3 when you paid a buck for it. And so better leverage, you can make 100 to 300%. If the stock were to go to 15, you know someone's going to buy your call if they're short, because they don't want to get stuck having to buy it out of the market and risk a bigger loss. So your call could go to $5 to $10. It works the same on the reverse on a put. You know, again, someone that holds the stock writes a put. You can buy it, has a limited time on it, and if you buy it and the stock drops, the lower it drops, the more your put becomes valuable. So that's the crash course in how you are in the market.
All right. Morning, Bruce. So glad to have you along with us. Bruce wants to know, how's my Walmart stock doing, Shane?
Well, it's actually holding up. It's one of those amazing stocks that's holding up. And the reason it's holding up is because of the value of the cash and the fact that it's a stock that is renowned for success in its operations as a family-owned company, and some of the wealthiest people in the world, of course, the mm-hmm. you know, the Wall family, as we know. I want to jump back real quick because I want to go through four or five of these stocks before we end the show. So let's look at Facebook right now. It's Meta Platforms. You know, they changed the name to be, I don't know, impressive.
Mm-hmm. Whoops. Sorry.
Bang. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. So we know it's gotten bang because, you know, it was at what, 380, right, Tom? So, I mean, you know, it's down to 213. And, you know, that's clearly not a good indicator. But one of the interesting things about it is that while the stock is trading at 218, I still think it could go to 125. What you have is 34.5 million or 32 million shorts against it. So these are reported shorts saying they think the stock's going lower. Most of them shorted it higher. So they're in a big profit margin. They don't need to cover. And, you know, they'll wait and see if it stalls and goes lower. But the reason this happened is because, Facebook split years ago, and there's 2.3 billion shares out on it. That's why when we talked about Google, made the call, we've called it for, over a year, Thomas, that Google would split, and they're splitting 20 to 1. And then, of course, you have Amazon. Amazon is splitting 20 to 1. So both of these stocks have an interesting situation to them because they're coming into a bear market, both of them, at a higher price. And one of the reasons companies split the stock isn't just to increase the number of shares, but to lower the price. So their timing is either going to be good or the timing is going to be bad. But the problem that you have right now is that, there's like 35 million shares short on, trying to get it. Here we are. What do we got here? We got, I've got Amazon here. Oh my gosh. Come on, guys. Trading Economics, one of the best places on the planet to go online. It's, punch in Trading Economics, 20 million things. It'll come up and click on it, 20 million. Piece of information. So Alphabet's at 2,800. So 20 to 1, Tom, right? That's $180 bucks.
Yeah. And it makes it more affordable for the normal investor to jump in on that. So that's a good deal.
It's the only stock I would even look at buying, but not until after the split, not till the price is adjusted, and not for at least 2 weeks. No matter what the stock does, goes down or goes up. Likelihood it'll go down because of course, right now, there's, are you ready for this? 300 million shares out. So they're going from 300 million shares to 6 billion. But here's the interesting difficult. There's 2 million short on it right now. And so, 20 to 1, that's 40 million short. So if you remain short, and, you're short increases with the split. So you know, they'll be 40 million shares short after it, after the split on Google. And, you know, Amazon's the same way. That's why we wanted to talk about it, because here's the giggle. You know, the public float on Amazon is 442 million. And, you know, Bezos have kept it this way to maintain the price over the last 30 years because of the need for cash, number one, the need to have a lock on who owned the stock, because he knows everyone that owns the stock. But, you know, the short interest on it is 3.8, 4 million. So here we go again. 4 times 20 is 80 million shares short after the, you know, after the split what are we at here? 20 to 21 will be 8 billion. So now they'll all be in the lead, you know, of a lot of the other FANG stocks, Facebook,
Google and Netflix and Amazon and Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Amazon and Google.
The FANG stocks.
The same as
Facebook.
Yeah, the FANG stocks. So
now Facebook, Facebook's a buy, Shane. Facebook's still a buy.
No, it's not a buy. No, sorry.
Yeah, it is. According to Market Watch, it's a buy. It hasn't changed in changed in the last year, six months. I'm just pointing it out for listeners. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just pointing it out.
And I'm going to explain why it's not a buy. None of these stocks are a buy. There's no stock out there, unless you're really interested in a stock, you know, buy one that pays a dividend. That's the only thing I would look at. But having said that, look, U.S. is going into a recession, and probably a very deep one. It's going to come by May, June, number one. It could even turn into a wacky depression, depending on a world war and what goes on in this issue that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. Number two, the Federal Reserve is raising the bank rate, talking about doing it 7 times, and we've gone over this, and I'm going to go over it quickly today. The reason they're raising the bank rate, because when the bank rate goes up, the price of bonds or debt, your debt, goes down. Right. So they want to raise it, not because of inflation. They want to raise it because no one's buying your debt. You literally are stuck now. You know, you've got this huge debt, $28 trillion, and $20 trillion of it's held inside your country. The great generation is living off it or selling it, and they should, because the value of those bonds are going to drop in price, and even though the interest rate on them is growing. But the other thing is that the baby boomers, you know, they're sitting back like us and living off it and to a certain degree. And, you know, the newer generations since 65 and on aren't buying it. One really interesting thing that has to be understood about your debt. This is interesting. So in that margin account I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can buy a U.S. debt, U.S. bonds, and you can do it on 10% margin. In other words, you could buy $1 million worth of American bonds and, you know, for $100,000. But if they start going down, you're going to have to sell them. And even though the interest rate on them is going to be climbing, you're stuck in a very bad range. So you better to sell them, hopefully make some money, and wait, because they're going to go a lot lower.
Some of them have a time limit how long you have to hold them too.
That's right. If they expire, you know, you get paid your interest and you get your money back. And so,
yeah, you don't get the full interest. You get a portion of the interest back. But
that's right.
There is a certain amount of time you have to wait. It has to accumulate some interest in order for you to sell it and get paid.
That's right. And, you know, right now, you know, you're looking at a situation where currencies are holding up. The euro's holding it at $1.10 against the U.S. Yeah, the Canadian dollar is getting stronger at $1.25. But, you know, when you look at bonds, boy, folks, the 10-year bond right now, if you buy in the market, it's 2.32. So as it gets cheaper, that interest rate's going to go up. You know, that's more than what the United Kingdom gets at $1.64. Japan's at 0.24. Australia is, you know, at 2.7, so they're moving up. Germany's 0.51, Brazil 11, India 6, Canada's at 2.3, Italy is at 2, so they're less than the U.S. I'm going through these because this is an interesting aspect of what we're talking about today. France is at 0.97. These are their 10-year notes that they can all own individually. And, of course, Greece is at 2.8. So the United States 10-year bond at 2.3 is heading towards what Greece is paying for people to own their 10-year debt.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to run through these numbers quickly because we don't like to make these shows long. But, you know, a couple of things you need to know is, well, what are targets? There's no open target to a bear market. We saw this in 2008. If there's a recession or worse, there's all kinds of problems. As they raise interest rates, the Fed rate, markets will trade off.
By the way, a bear market's a bear is a light market, and a bull market is a heavy market. So just to
a bear market's a buyer's market. Bull market's a buyer's market and a bear market's a seller's market. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So all these swings you're seeing every day are professional traders that are, you know, they're covering shorts to make money daily. And it goes up 200 or 300, 400 points. And as it's going up, they short again, you know, because they just know it's going lower. So the advantage you're getting right now is if you didn't sell in November and December, we gave you 2 months of warning on the top of the market. Remember, you know, Joseph Kennedy said, buy low, sell high. Shane says, your first loss is your best loss. Are you there, Thomas? Oh, I was doing something else
and I didn't want to, be, you know, ducking around doing stuff.
Oh, so, cool.
No I was problem. Looking something up. Let's see. Craig wants to know, buy Exxon Mobil record profits. I'm not sure if they have. I mean, when you factor in inflation and the factor of the world market, yeah, why not? But
well, right now you're going to see an adjustment on what we call the Dow 30. I expect. Walgreens and probably what did I pick the other day? I was looking at this and I think it's going to be and the Dow. The Dow itself is public, so I think the Dow 30 will go off the Dow 30 list of 30 companies, and Amazon and you know, Alphabet will replace them. But you know, look, when you're looking at something as significant as Chevron. Chevron's a remarkable company. I mean, it's one of the Rockefeller's original companies. It ended up being consolidated after broken up. But the remarkable thing about it is that Exxon pays a 25-cent dividend, and they're, you know, with the price of oil streaming now at 110 to 15, probably going to break its 147 top sometime in the next, you know, couple of months if this war in Ukraine continues. It just will. So, yeah. You know, you're looking at an opportunity in the oil industry of seeing some, you know, something of these things happening. You know, I've got to mention Occidental took a big jump. the stock advocate, his name left me. Icahn, you know, he was on CNBC this week talking about, you know, he wants the board changed and the CEO of Occidental changed. So he went in and bought it, and the stock jumped like $35. But he's now got 5% of the company,
mm-hmm.
and he's asking, to buy it out, you know, for $52, I believe. So he wants to buy it, own it, and restructure it, and set up new management, and then he'll turn around. Make it public again. That's what he's done all of his life, and quite successfully.
Yeah. The other thing to look at, Shane, that this morning I was looking at lithium. Lithium's up 400% from a year ago for those electric car batteries that we're all going after so hard.
We another call that we made incredibly, mm-hmm. and the reason it was a major call is it's right now it's at $497,000 a metric ton.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's heading to 500,000, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's around 200,000 when we first talked about it 2 years ago. The reason we talked about it is Frank Giustra did to the lithium industry what he did to the uranium industry. You know, he went out, created a uranium company, bought 20% of the uranium deposits in the United States, and then sold the deal to the Russians. Well, he did the same thing with lithium. Two, 3 years ago, started a lithium company, went out and bought all the lithium deposits in South America and in a couple other places around the world, turned around, sold it to China.
Yeah.
So there China, you go. Excuse me.
Hey, China has money's where you find it.
That's right, baby. You know, money runs where it'll make the chicken fat.
That's right. Yeah. Well, let's see. Craig says dividends are great if you need income. Retirement stocks are based on growth. And yeah, I'd have a little bit of both, probably. I'd have some blue chips for retirement and some dividends to make your life easy.
Yeah. And if you have, we call them retirement savings plans or RRSPs up here RSPs. Look, if inflation comes and it will, it'll wipe it out. You're better to take that money, pay the penalty, pay the taxes, get the cash out, and use the cash now, or because 30 years from now, it won't be worth anything with inflation. And even if inflation gets under control, they'll have inflation at 2-3% a year. So if you keep something, if you keep 10 grand in your account at 2%, interest, and you know, inflation's 3, you know, you're going to end up with nothing at the end of the day. So all this money that you think you're going to save for retirement is really for the banks to lend back to you. So I am not a believer in retirement savings plans, regrettably, but that's what the market's telling us right now. I've been through this 5 times, so I think I have a pretty good understanding.
Even your Social Security isn't going to keep up with inflation. I mean, that's a lousy 3%, I think, and
that's right.
You know, I mean, that's every year you get a little bit of a cost of living increase, which is what, pennies on the dollar, which is almost nothing.
Well, I'm betting by, August, September that Biden will, send out another check to everyone at Social Security like he did last year for $1,600, and then get up and say, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that for you.
Well, the other thing that's coming up, too, is the forgiveness of student loans. Nobody's paid on their student loan for the past 2 years, and that's going to come up on May 1st. Now, they did get, do away with the income tax credit, and they stopped that, and the foreclosures, they stopped that. So
we came up with an answer. Here it is, very simple. We say when the student loans during COVID and the money sent out, they dropped, students paid off 200 million $200 billion, so but it's back to 1.7 billion. So here's what the US does. They go to all these people that owe money, average around $35,000. Get them to sign an agreement that they'll pay 10% of what they owe over a year. At the end of the year, the agreement will say, okay, we will give you X number of dollars to go buy a house. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, government-owned institutions, will lend you the money. They'll give you enough to buy a house and do some work on it and have money in the bank and take your debt, your student debt, into that mortgage. Now you're in the game. Now you have a piece of dirt. Your loans are paid off. They're going down. They're invested in American real estate. And this great generation, from 85 to 2005, they have a shot. They're in the game, baby. Simple solution to what isn't a difficult problem.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too that we've said is all these tech stocks that we've talked about this morning, all the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google, those guys need to buy into Social Security. And
that's how we said that we could solve the Social Security problem. You know, back in 2008 or 2007, when Bush was under the gun with the collapse of the market, similar to what we're seeing today, by the way, and it was based upon the mortgages, mortgage-backed securities.
Subprimes,
prime that were, they were mortgages on residential property consolidated by U.S. banks and then sold to foreign banks for a bucket of money. And then they took that money and they put it in the market, and the market crashed, basically.
Right.
But the bottom line, I'm just a reminder. Mm-hmm. So they get the big banks together, except, you know, all of them. You know, there were seven. Secretary of Treasury under Bush sat him down in the boardroom in the, you know, the Treasury Department and said, okay, here's the deal. You're all taking this money. And it was billions, if you remember. They were full of money from the U.S. Mm-hmm. government. And they didn't put a caveat on it and say, oh, by the way, this money can only be lent out. You know, that's what it's for. But they didn't. They didn't put that caveat on it. And so the banks used it to run the market. Mm-hmm. Well, the market, you know, in 08, after Obama took over, you know, dropped to 6,900. So guess what they did with the money? They bought the market. That's what started the whole market.
Everything was on sale, so why not? Well, the other thing too, Shane.
Let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
Same concept for Social Security, only you sit the FANG stocks down, the ones you just mentioned. You know, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Amazon, and Alphabet, and you say, or Google, and you say, okay, guys, you know, the Social Security has its own debt. It's like $6 trillion. It's a special debt. So we're putting $1 trillion on the table. We're going to split it up amongst all of you, $200 billion. You're going to issue us preferred shares, and you're going to pay 10% interest every year on those shares, because mm-hmm. you're the best companies in the country, and you're somewhere, mm-hmm. you're going somewhere. So you don't pay taxes. We got to get money into Social mm-hmm. Security, so you're going to provide it. Oh, by the way, you know, these shares you give us, these preferred shares, have a conversion privilege of 10 to 1. So if you don't pay the interest, we can convert these preferred shares to common stock. Then we'll sell the MFs, you know, mother Fs, mm-hmm. into the market to make up the difference. Simple solution funds Social Security completely forever.
Yeah.
Dude, the problem's over.
And theft, just like taxes are from the companies. Well, the other thing I was going to mention while you're talking about the banks is that the banks going after the market rather than lending the money out.
Yeah.
Back in 2008 with the subprime scares, they putting the money in the market or someplace else was more profitable than lending it out on home loans at low interest rates. So.
Absolutely correct. Not only that, but it was leveraged because all the stocks they bought were each other's, number one, and those mm-hmm. were all marginable stocks. So, you know, you saw the stock market turn and scream. You know, it went from 9,600 in March, excuse me, mm-hmm. of 2008 on a bull run to 35,000. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there you go. Greg, so what do you think about crypto? We've talked about crypto quite a bit on the our podcast, Shane. We're a little iffy on it, I think. I don't know. There's too many. It's fairly safe from fraud, but not, it's still a little, it's not black market, but it's sure gray market.
No, I don't think so. There's over 1200 of them. And regrettably, here's the tell. My tell came true. I've been saying this too for, I don't know, a year. Gold is not, you know, safe harbor anymore. I mean, it's barely holding $2,000. Yes, there isn't a lot of it. Yes, it could go off the rails and, you know, like go into the stratosphere if there's a bad recession or depression. But the bottom line is that you can't, you know, you can't go in and with a gold bar to Walmart. Now, with silver coins, I've always said for 10 years, buy silver coins. They've basically been in the same range. Mm-hmm. And, finally, going back to the crypto, I'll tell you what my feeling is. In this market today, with people around the world and it being a global market, Bitcoin became the bellwether of scared money. And the reason it dropped from 64,000 to where it's at today at 43.
Oops, sorry. Damn it. Okay.
Did we go? Hello. All right. So the reason Bitcoin is now the tell. Watch Bitcoin in relation to this bear market. It's where scared money will go back to. I'm not saying you should buy it or not, but it's a measure. Use it as a measure, like we used to use gold in the old days, because gold is just it's not relevant. So Bitcoin can be used anywhere in the world, converted to any currency. Pretty hard to walk. You know, you can't get on a plane with a bar of gold because you can't have more than 10 grand, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But you can walk on with a credit card or a phone with millions of Bitcoin on it, and they don't ask you about it. So they may change mm-hmm. laws about that. We'll see. But yeah, Bitcoin is the tell. Just mm-hmm. watch it every day. It'll mm-hmm. tell you a lot about the market. When the market, as I said, is swinging up, it's a short day to play. And if it's dropping down, you know, mm-hmm. it's the next day or itself. Now, if it starts to bang, meaning moving higher, that's because everyone that's been margined out, particularly in China and Russia, with their markets, you know, their accounts in other places, safe havens, you know, they've been blowing it out. And people always tend to sell their winners first. It's mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just human nature, you know. Oh, yeah. I don't want to sell the stock I'm losing money on. Look at the Bitcoin. I mean, I'm up 100%. I'm up 40%. I'm up 30%. I'm going to sell that. So that's they did. That's what they did.
Sell it and get the money back. If you want to know Bitcoin prices, coinmarketcap.com. Coinmarketcap.com has them all listed, what the prices are and all that. So
that's right.
If you want to find out more about crypto, that is the place to at least start and go over and look at. It'll tell you how many are out and what they're worth and all that.
That's right. And I want to mention TradingEconomics, lowercase.com/, and click on it. It'll open up. Go to the markets bar, and the markets bar will give you currency, stocks, commodities, bonds, crypto, earnings, and holidays. Click on crypto, and it'll give you every crypto out there and what it's trading mm-hmm. at. The amount is phenomenal. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people are looking to it, you know, and so. You know.
Well, yeah, because the two big ones are Bitcoin and Ether. Mm-hmm. The reason, quite simply, was Ether came out as a more of an investment for wealthy people, and they jumped on it. So, mm-hmm. excuse me, you have wealthier people that bought Ether as opposed to Bitcoin, mm-hmm. and that's why it's so remarkable. And when you talk about capitalization, because we started the show off and me blabbering about the number of shares out on companies, Bitcoin only has 20 million coins issued, and they're at just over 19 million have been mined. So there's still more to be mined. But once they're mined, that'll be it. They're not going to issue more coins. So it'll trade based on the fact that, mm-hmm. you know, there's not many of them. I mean, just like public companies trading, you know, at, you know, earnings, you know, how many times earnings are they, you know, trading at?
Yeah. So, nope. I think that, is something, to certainly look at. I'd rather look at cryptocurrency than I would non-fungible tokens. maybe we should make our shows non-fungible tokens.
Yeah, that's right. Virtual, baby. You know, that's what
it is. If you want to buy one of our shows for $100,000, we'll talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, like, you know, you say that Facebook is a buy, and I still say it's going lower. But having said that, you know, it's now in the realm of reality for that. What, for 50 years people bought stocks, or you know, with a PEH ratio around 16. Well, it's now back at 15. PE ratio 15, and it's incredible because it was at 35. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, and now I hear all these bubble heads on TV are saying, "Oh, all these companies, you know, now they're at that grade level of, you know, 16, you know, 15 to 18, you know, PE ratio." But guys, with a recession, with everything that's happening, all these numbers are going to go down. I mean, you go from McDonald's to Starbucks coffees, anyone that's shutting down out of Russia, it's going to affect their numbers in the quarters. So all these companies are going to have to get through the next 3 months with a recession in the U.S. and because of gas and inflation and food costs. And also because, they've lost revenue from both Russia and China. Cause you know, you called it, baby, that missile mm-hmm. that Russia launched 2 weeks ago and showed the world, they didn't build that supersonic missile. It came from China. Mm-hmm. You and I both agree.
Yeah, that's, Yeah, it's a Reich rocket, is what it
yeah,
is.
It is. Yeah,
no matter exactly where it comes from. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us, Shane. So say goodbye. Tell the folks so long.
Okay. Well, be happy, be safe, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the information, and we'll tell your friends. Now it's on the record. You can see where I was right and wrong for the rest of time.
Okay. There you go. Hey, don't forget, thanks for watching. Don't forget to subscribe and like us, because YouTube likes that. So does Facebook, of course. And we will be happy to, you know, one of the things about subscribing to YouTube, Shane, there's an 80%. If you subscribe to this channel, there's an 80% chance you will not get Legionnaire's disease. 80% chance. We guarantee it, man. 80%.
That's fabulous.
There you are. So why would you not want to subscribe? Hit the button down in the lower corner of your screen or down below the podcast itself. And we'll see you on the next podcast. But we have to remind you before we go that we are on radio tomorrow, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com.
For Saturday, not tomorrow.
Saturday. All right. I don't know why I keep thinking this is on Friday. I don't know. It's Saturday.
So
yeah. It's Saturday morning.
We're having so much fun. We used to be on every day.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I'm looking at the crawl and I'm saying Friday.
Okay,
I'm senile.
Buddy.
I've got Brandon disease, I guess.
I got your back, pal. I got,
I know you on. Do. I know you got to correct me. So yeah, but yeah, there's nothing to join. There's no personal information needed. You just go over and click a listen now, and boom, you can hear us anywhere in the world. 8 to 11 Mountain Time, listen live, KMMSAM.com. Why would you not want to do that? So, all right. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll see you on the next podcast.